Some of you may have noticed that this is election week in Texas. Some of you have probably already voted. Some of the rest of you will probably vote Tuesday. We get to vote for local offices and state offices and national offices. Sometimes we feel like our vote matters. Sometimes we feel like the best candidate isn't going to win, isn't going to take office unless we ourselves go and cast the deciding vote. But sometimes it seems like we're just playing games. I saw a short video on the Onion News Network on the computer this week about how they'd accidentally released, y'all know the Diebold company, the one that makes voting machines? They said that they'd accidentally released the results of the 2008 election already. And they were wondering if they had to go in campaign since the results were already out there. Do you ever feel that way? You ever feel like the election's already decided and the big powers up there have already put somebody in place and we just go through the motions, the charade of doing an election? How do we decide who to vote for? We say, oh, they're from the right party. Is it that they have the right ideas? That they make the best promises? Maybe not just a chicken in every pot, but a car in every garage. Maybe they look best, have the best hair, or the best clothing. Maybe we look for their experience and their track record. What have they done in the past? Maybe they have the snazziest commercials. You know, some commercials, you say, oh, yeah, here's a political commercial coming on, and you sort of tune out. Others just are so creative, they grab you. If you say, that guy grabbed me with his commercial, I think I'll vote for him. Or maybe it's the celebrity testimonials. Somebody that we know of is famous says that they're voting for so-and-so, so we think, oh, they're obviously very wise, so we better vote for him too. Maybe we just do what we've always done. Maybe our habit is to always vote for the first person on the list, and we do that. Or maybe we do the old-fashioned method. You know, get out your coin and flip it. A or B, heads or tails. When we vote, what are the consequences? Well, in a primary election, we give somebody the right or the authority or the place to run in the general election. When we vote for somebody in a general election, then they get to go take office and start doing the job. Have you ever noticed that the Bible talks about election? Election, not elections. Though there are a couple of events that approximate elections. You remember when Jonah is out sailing on the sea to go to Tarshish. And a big storm comes up. And they figure that some god has sent the storm to punish them for something. So the sailors all get together and they have an election. They draw lots. And it turns out that Jonah is the one that's elected. Jonah, what are you doing wrong here that your god's picking on you? Or Matthias. We see this in the book of Acts. Judas, one of the 12 disciples, has gone out and killed himself. So the disciples say, oh, we need a 12th person to be a disciple. So let's go find somebody who's been with us from the beginning and let's elect him to join our number. And again, they draw lots and Matthias gets the lot. So we see a couple of elections, although not exactly like we do them in the Bible. But what we see in the Bible is election. Election is when we choose someone or choose something. The Bible tells us that in election, God chooses someone. In the Old Testament, God chose Abraham and his descendants, the people of Israel. He chose them for two purposes. God chose them so that he could bless them. He says to Abraham, I want to bless you beyond your wildest imagination. I want to make you into a great nation. But he also said, secondly, I want to bless you by making you a blessing to all nations, so that all nations on earth will be blessed through you. God elected. God chose Abraham and Israel. Why did he do it? They look down and say, oh, Abraham, out of all the people on earth, you're the best. You have the highest character qualities. You're the nicest guy out there. You do everything right. Well, no, as far as we can tell. The reason God chose Abraham, the reason God chose Israel was simply because he wanted to. To use the language here in Ephesians 1, it was just his good pleasure. He liked doing it. So how did the Israelites respond to their election? Well, sometimes they responded the right way. They worshiped God. They kept His law. They lived as His people. They sought to fulfill His purposes in their lives. Sometimes, though, they responded to the election the wrong way. They acted like God owed them something. Okay, God, you elected us. Now you're supposed to take care of us. You're supposed to bless us. Come on, God. Sometimes they took God for granted. See, the Israelites, for some reason, liked the first part of God's election promise better than the second part. You know, the I will bless you part better than the you will be a blessed part. We look at the Old Testament. We can read it perhaps as the story of God's chosen people, the elect nation, in dialogue with God, interaction with God, trying to decide, will we act like the elect or not? But today we're in Ephesians, considering what the New Testament has to say. We read here, He chose us in Him before the creation of the world. Don't you like it when people just pile up the pronouns, leaving us to figure out who is who, the He, us, Him? Oh, the He here, well, that seems fairly straightforward. The He that is doing the choosing here, the He that is doing the electing is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the God who's choosing, the God who's electing. How about the next program, us? Who's that pronoun? Well, that's the people that God's chosen. That's the people that Paul's writing to. The people in the church in Ephesus. And by extension, us, followers of Jesus today. Who is Him? He chose us in Him. Well, here it's Jesus. If you were to go home today and read all of Ephesians, or even if you had more time and read all of Paul's writings, you see over and over again, Paul talks about how God is doing something for us, with us, through us, in Christ, in Him. Over and over again, Paul does that. Does that sound strange? Here we are, elected by God, and were we even running? Did we put up posters? God, elect me. Any of you run radio or TV spots? Did you do a phone campaign? Did you know just a couple of weeks ago, Christy was at home in the evening and I was at a meeting somewhere and she told me she got a phone call from the wife of a presidential candidate? Did you know that? It's amazing, isn't it, what they do to get elected. Did you call God? God, elect me, please. Vote for me when you're out on voting day. Here I am, God, choose me. Now, maybe a few of us do that. But what was it that swayed God's opinion? What was it that led God to vote, to elect us? That sounds sort of strange, doesn't it? As when we do elections, we have the many voting for the one. But here when we see God electing us, we have the one electing the many. Why'd He do it? Did He look at our moral qualities? Did He look at our bloodline, our ancestry? All I know is our good looks. So handsome and beautiful. Or maybe it was our resume. Our spiritual resume. Maybe it's because we go to church every Sunday. God says, that person's going to go to church every Sunday, so I will elect them, yes. But some of you may have noticed it's hard to go to church every Sunday. Weren't you in church every Sunday last year? That's hard to do, isn't it? I mean, some of you get sick. Anybody ever been sick on a Sunday? Yeah. Or you travel. Any of you ever been traveling away from church on a weekend? Some of you may notice I wasn't here last weekend. I was off teaching a class for lay leaders. Sometimes we have company and our company says, what do you mean go to church? I want to sleep in. Sometimes we might just not feel like it. What I see here in this text, God chose us for the same reason he chose Israel. He wanted to. It gave him pleasure. It filled him with joy to look at us, look at me, to look at you and say, I choose you. I elect you as my very own. We see the additional language here of love being thrown in. He loved us. In love, he predestined us. Does that mean that all those things we look at when we elect a candidate don't really matter? Our looks, our party affiliation, our experience, our track record? Sure looks to me like God didn't count any of that stuff. God didn't look for what was in us when he chose us. He looked at himself. He looked for love. We also see here that his choosing, his electing, was in Christ. When he chose Christ, when he sent his only Son into the world to live among us, to show us what it means to live a truly human life. When he took our sin upon himself and died on the cross. When he rose from the dead. When he did all that, he was choosing us. Why did he choose us? Not why, looking at us, did he decide, but for what purpose? For what reason? What consequences was God looking for when he chose us? We get a few clues here in Scripture. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless before him. Secondly, he predestined us to be adopted as his children. Down in verse 12, we see that he chose us for the praise of his glory. Some of us might be thinking, well, where's heaven in all this? I thought he chose us to go to heaven. Well, sometimes we see heaven in Ephesians. If you want to read ahead, you can read Ephesians 2 and you'll find it there. That's a different message. Let's consider what we have here today. God has chosen us to be holy and blameless before him. That's a matter of character. We choose, we elect people based on their character qualities. God chooses us. God elects us so that we might come to have certain character qualities. His choosing, his electing comes first. We're chosen to be holy and blameless where? Before him. God wants us to live in his presence. That's not just later on heaven when we die. That's now. God wants us who believe in Jesus now to be holy and blameless before him. In this life, not merely the next. See, secondly here, that God chooses us to be his children. Now, we've seen this idea elsewhere in Scripture, but let's examine it here for a moment. In Christ, God has done everything necessary for us. He did that which we couldn't do for ourselves. See it here in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace lavished on us. Doesn't say he chose us after we got our lives in order. He doesn't say he chose us, he elected us after we got everything right. It says he chose us and then in Christ we receive redemption. Then in Christ we receive forgiveness of our sins. We see though in Scripture that there is still a role for us. In John 1:12, John writes that all who received him, talking about Jesus, all who received him, all who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. All who received him. You see, we see in Scripture that God has elected us. God has chosen us to be his very own. But there still seems to be this response that we have to do. We still have to say, yes, yes, Lord, I accept the fact that you've chosen me. Yes, I accept this life, this adoption as your child. What about us? Are we for or against? Seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? God chooses us for life. We say, yes, Lord. But it doesn't always work that way in politics, does it? Any of y'all remember William Tecumseh Sherman? I know in this part of the country, a lot of people have ancestors from Georgia, so they might not think too highly of him. The famous Civil War general for the North. 1880 election, they came to him and said, Mr. Sherman, we want you to run for president. And everybody up in the North at least had fond memories of him, so they figured he was a shoo-in. But Sherman famously said, if I'm nominated, I won't run. And if I'm elected, I won't serve. Although lots of people had interest in him, Sherman had no interest in being president. He was dead set against it. He's not the only one with that attitude. A few years ago, when asked about running for president, Morris Udall said, if nominated, I shall run to Mexico. If elected, I'll fight extradition. Do we do that when God elects us? Do we say, oh no, God, I don't want you to choose me. I want to run my own life. I know what's best for me. You'll ruin it. You'll mess it up. God has chosen you for Himself. God has chosen you for all of eternity. God has chosen you to accomplish His purposes. Will you say yes to Him? Yes is the best thing you can say. Let's consider one final thing. This idea of being for the praise of His glory. You see, just as God chose Abraham, just as God chose Israel to be blessed and to be a blessing, God also chooses us not just to bless us with eternal life, not just to bless us with forgiveness, not just to bless us with redemption, not just to bless us with adoption as His children, but God chooses us so that we might be a blessing to the people around us. Look around you for a moment. Do you see those people? Look around. Don't look at me. Look around. You see the other people here? The people that you see here this morning are people that God has chosen. When you leave here, when you go driving down the road, those people that you think don't know how to drive, God has chosen them. When you go to work and the other people you work with are jerks or know-nothings or don't know what they're doing, God has chosen them. When you go home to your family and your family members just annoy you endlessly, God has chosen them. When you go to Walmart or Brookshire's and you see people you've never seen before in your life walking down the aisle, God has chosen them. God has chosen them in Christ. Now you perhaps have the advantage because you know that God's chosen you. You've said, yes, God, yes, I accept your choice of me. Yes, I stick out my empty hands and receive Jesus. But there are people out there that haven't done that before. They don't have any clue that God would have any interest in them. They might even have a deep conviction that God would have no interest in them because they know what they've done. They know themselves. God elects us. God chooses us not merely to bless us, but so that we might be a blessing to the people around us, so that we might influence them toward Jesus, so we might live in such a way that they can see Jesus in us, so that when they finally hear that word that God has chosen them, whether from us or from somebody else, they might have some reason to say, yes. Yes, Lord, I'll take up this election. Are you willing today not just to say yes to God for yourself, but yes to God as He invites you to be a blessing to the people around you who have been elected by Him, chosen by Him in Christ, but have not yet responded to that election? Are you willing? Let's pray.